Well, I'm glad I'm saved.
What would we do without the Lord? We need your prayers today. We lean on the Lord. I want to just make one more little comment. It's my testimony. I mean to go right on. Until the crown is won. I don't want to turn back, do you?
No.
What is there to go back to?
Nothing.
I want to go forward. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the song service this morning. I was blessed by the songs, and I was blessed by that song. I want to give Him my whole life. I'm glad. I am so glad to be saved. Last Sunday we had a couple of thoughts I'm just going to give to you this morning to sort of bring it over to the message this morning. Need prayer for my voice. It's still not doing right. We spoke last week about in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and it is full of mixture. And the other, one other scripture that we use that we want to remind us is the scripture that says, I know my thoughts I have toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So the whole purpose of God in your life and mine is really the end. The end of it all. It's not all that's going to matter. It's good. Everything in between is. But how I end is the main thing.
Yes.
So the scripture we want to give you this morning comes from Malachi 3:3. We want you to think about your cup this morning. What is in your cup? Cup of the Lord. It says, He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier, and He shall purify and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. God is the God of a chosen people, a chosen generation. The scripture tells us that His people are called a royal priesthood, a special people, a peculiar people. What is so peculiar about God's people in comparison to those who are not His people or are not His children, is the difference is that they have been purified unto God by Himself. That's the scripture. I'm just giving you some of the word without reading it. We all know that the Lord is going to return someday. And we know who He's coming back for. He is coming back for a people that is called His bride. He is coming back for a people without spot, without wrinkle. That sounds real close, doesn't it? But that's His purpose. That's His purpose, to cleanse His people and purify them and to refine them, even as gold and silver is refined. I'm thinking about who He's looking for today. He's looking for those who will be faithful and for those who will have faith. He said in His word, when I return, will I find faith? Faith is low. But it doesn't mean that you and I have to have low faith. We can have faith in God. We can have the kind of faith that He's looking for when He comes back. And He is working with you and me, with the things that are in my cup. The things that He brings in my life is for a purpose. It's not just to give you a hard time. It's not just to make you weep and cry, and it's not for that reason at all. He's wanting to work his purpose in your life and in mine, and it is from that cup that he has for you and me, and he hands it to us, and he says, drink ye this cup. Jesus said that he would have to drink his cup, and you and I must drink our cup as well. So, he's doing it because he wants to give us an expected end. Now, there are three passages of scriptures I want to give to you this morning about being tried, being tested, being a proven people. Did you know that God will have a tested and a tried people? That the road to heaven is not on flowery beds of ease. We all might like for everything to just be easy, but it will not be easy if you make heaven. I do not mean to be negative this morning. I simply want us to be prepared and face reality. These three passages sort of go together, and the first one is in Jeremiah 20:12. And it says, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous. So the righteous people are going to be tried. Don't be shocked. The scripture tells us that we're not to be shocked by the fiery trials, which is to try us. So the righteous is going to be tried. And it says that, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart. That the reins and the heart is the heart and the mind. God knows your thoughts. He knows the intentions of your heart. He knows the purposes. You and I cannot get around those and try to explain them away. He is a righteous judge. He knows you and me all the way through our life. We cannot escape his judgments of our life or our thoughts. The next scripture is Psalm 7:8-9. And these go together. It says, the Lord shall judge the people. That's in the 8th verse. And then the 9th verse, the latter part of it says, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins. Again, that's the hearts and the minds. And the third scripture that confirms this also, Psalms 11:5, it says, it starts out with this, and I'm just going to use the first part. It says, the Lord trieth the righteous. Did you know it's a great privilege to be tried by the Lord? And we don't need to be afraid to ask him to try us. I remember one time, and I've told this before, testimony, how that I would go to Monarch, and it seemed like Monarch was like my new year. I would always get encouraged at Monarch, and I sort of lived from Monarch to Monarch. But that particular year, it seemed as though I didn't get what I needed to face the next year. And I went home and was praying and seeking the Lord, and the Lord put the words in my mouth. And he said, these words were, Lord, I want you to try me. And as soon as I said the words, just a chill went over my body. And I knew I was asking for something hard. And yet I felt that the Lord was so pleased that if I would submit myself to him in that way and allow him to try me, to work with me, to reveal himself to me, to reveal me to me, I believed he would be pleased. So in the weeks that followed that, I willingly prayed that way, unafraid. Lord, I want you to try me. And honestly, I knew when the trying started. And I thought to myself, oh, I can get through this. I can make it. But the trying was something that lasted for 3 years. And it became very hard. And I was put to the test. I was put to the limit. And I remember a 3-month period during that time that I was under a siege of temptation. And every day and throughout the day, I was tempted. In my mind, there was a line that was was drawn there. And the thoughts were going through my mind all the time, just step across the line. It wasn't that I would go into sin, but the words were spoken, just step across the line, you will never have to preach again. And the temptation was so great. I shed many tears during that 3-month period. But then one day, the Spirit of the Lord caused me to turn and to see a city that was set on a hill. Even then, I turned and looked back at the line one more time. This was a trial. This was a test. And then the Spirit of the Lord helped me to turn and run for my life, and the power of that thing was broken. When we pass through these places of being tried and tested and proven, it will be difficult, but if we will prove true and faithful, He'll bring us out into a wealthy place, thank the Lord. He is the faithful God. He's not going to give you more than you're able to bear, but He will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. It is His promise, and we can stand on the promise, and we can trust Him, and we can believe His word, and it will work. That scripture that says He'll bring us out into a wealthy place, it says He will bring us out into a moist place, a place where I will be kept alive. Thank the Lord. He is the God of the living. He's not God, a God of the dead. He wants us to be alive in Him, and He desires that you make heaven more than you do. He wants you there to be safe for all eternity, to enjoy all that has been prepared for His people. He wants us there. And so He hands you a cup. And that cup is full of mixture. Many different things will happen to you and me in our life from the beginning of our walk with Him. If we follow Him, if we submit our will to Him, if we stay with Him from that point until we cross over into our heavenly home and receive our reward. There will be many things that will happen, but it's for a purpose. It's for the purpose of purging us, purifying and cleansing us of all unrighteousness. Oh, you say, well, when you're saved, you're righteous. I want to tell you, we're still human. We have human characteristics. And He sees those things that you and I can't always see. And He's working to make us into vessels of honor. Thank the Lord. I'm thinking about the parable of the two houses that were built. And one was built on the sand, and one was built on a solid rock. We're familiar with that. But what happened next? The storms of life beat upon those houses. There were floods that came. What was the purpose of the storms and the floods? It was to prove those houses. It's proving your life and my life when the Lord allows us to be tested and tried and proven. You know, the word of the Lord is full. of examples where people met many troubles. We wouldn't have time this morning to even tell of all of them. You find a whole chapter written of them over in the Hebrews. When Abraham was tried, what happened? He was proven. He proved that he loved God more than he loved his son. He was willing to sacrifice his son. What a hard place. I would not want to have that trial, would you? I wouldn't want to meet with a trial where I had to sacrifice my child. Oh, I want to tell you, God knows exactly the trial you need. Exactly the trial that I need. It's fitted for me. It's fitted for you. I'm thinking about our songs in our book. How many of them are just lovely songs? Or do they speak of trials and tests and afflictions and trouble and sorrow and grief and tears? Which is it? It's the latter, isn't it? The songwriters had to experience these things. They had to be tested. They had to be tried. They had to be proven in order to write those songs. And now you and I sing them. And as we sing them, we relate to them. We taste of those things in our life. And have we tasted of his goodness? He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he is good. He doesn't do these things or allow them into our life to crush us. He's allowing them for you and me to lean hard upon him, to trust in him, to never go back. I mean to go right on until the... It's one. I mean to go right on. Do you mean to go right on this morning?
Yes.
Is there anything that you want to look back at? You can't take pleasure in that which you've come out of. You'll go back to it. And the scripture says that if you go back to that thing, you will be like a dog going back to his vomit. Oh, that sounds gross. But I want to tell you, we should look at it as gross. The sins that we've been delivered from, we need to turn our back on them and not take any pleasure in even the memory of them. So our songs, they speak to us this morning and encourage us to accept our trial and to allow the Lord to try us. So the Lord has a reason, doesn't he? The next scripture we want to read is in Exodus 20 and 20. And Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. The children of Israel were God's chosen people. And they were chosen and delivered and promised a land that flowed with milk and honey. A wonderful place. Cities that they didn't have to build. Houses they didn't have to build. Gardens they didn't have to plant. It was all for them. And we know the account. But here's what Moses said to the people. He said, fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, for a reason, that you will not sin. So this work that God designs for your life is for the purpose that you will not go back to sin. Oh, but you say, but this is hard. This is a hard trial. Is it worth giving up God, who is our best friend, who is our Savior, who is our Lord? Oh, I want to tell you, he is your best friend. You can tell him anything when you can't tell anyone else. He will listen to you. He knows. I think of that song that says, just to know that he knows. that my Lord understands. Oh, that's the relationship He wants with each of us. And don't push the cup away and don't refuse what He allows in your life. Say, Lord, let this work for my good. You promised that it would work for my good. The next scripture I have is in Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to read parts of verse 2 and the latter part of verse 16, connecting them together. And in that part, this is written also to the children of Israel. And they have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And they're on the threshold of going into the wonderful land of Canaan. We know the story. And it is saying that they were to remember all of the ways that the Lord had led them up to that time. It was not easy. It was in the wilderness. Do you remember how the Lord has led you up to this time? Do you remember your testimonies? Do you remember how good He has been and the answers to prayer? Did you know you need to be writing some of those things down, lest you forget? Did you know that the scripture says that there was a book of remembrance that was written for them? It's for us. This word right here is a book of remembrance. But He wants you and me to remember modern day times also. He wants us to remember how He has led us in our past and not forget it, because it will encourage our faith. It will strengthen us for the next battle, for the next place that I am tested or tried or proven. But He told them, you remember how the Lord led you. And it says, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep the commandments or not. See, the Lord is allowing you and me to go through these testing places. It's also for me to know me. It's not just for God to know, but it's for me to know. Are you going to be so weak that you will give God up? That you will turn back? Is it so hard that I cannot bear it? Have you ever gone before the Lord and said, Lord, I can't bear this? We must not be tempted to say that, because He says, I won't give you more than you can bear. And so we must say, Lord, give me grace to bear this, because You're trusting me to bear this. And then in the latter part of verse 16, it says, why? To do thee good at thy latter end. You see what the Lord is thinking? He's thinking these thoughts toward you and me. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you and me an expected end. And so He's proving us and trying us and allowing us to be in these tested and tried places to see what's in our heart. I want to testify because the Lord showed me something in my heart. After our daughter was killed, I did not want to live. I wasn't wanting to take my life. I just didn't have purpose to live. And with my injuries from the wreck, I really thought that I had cancer. I was in pain all the time. But I wouldn't tell it. I didn't want anyone to pray for me to be healed, because I wanted to die. But I will never forget, I was in a grocery store and I was pushing my cart down the aisle, and I was in pain, and I was thinking, well, it won't be long now. And the Lord spoke to me right there in that grocery store. And He said, do you want your husband and your children to grieve for you like you have Jan? I hadn't thought of that. And I cried out to the Lord right there in that grocery store. And I said, no, Lord, I don't want that. I said, Lord, I promise I will want to live if you will heal me. And he healed me on the spot in that grocery store. I've never forgot it. But recently, I was in a test. And there was a temptation to want to die. And the Lord brought me back to my promise. He wants us to live. He wants us to endure hardness as a good soldier. He wants us to allow Him to bring these places into our life that we can see what's in our heart. No, I don't want that in my heart. I don't want to have a temptation that my life would end. I promised, Lord, if you would heal me, I promise I will want to live. I do want to live. It is the enemy that is our opposer. We must always remember we have an adversary, and he's going about, the scripture says, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you. And when the times get a little hard, he's there to try to tempt you and me to take another way, to push away the cup of the Lord. To say, I will not drink this cup. But you and I must remember how he's led us in the past. Because he's leading us to do us good in our latter end. Thank the Lord. I'm thinking about David. I love reading these places when I'm being tested, when I'm being tried. But David said in Psalms 26 and 1 and part of 2, he starts out and he says, judge me, O Lord. And the next verse says, examine me and prove me and try my reins and my heart. See, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to draw back because you say, well, if I ask the Lord to try me, he'll give me something harder than I can bear. No, it will not. It will work. It will draw you to him. David also said in Psalms 139, oh, there's some good scriptures in here. We'll read several verses in 139. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me. Thou knows me. Oh, it gives us confidence when we know that God knows me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compasseth or winnoweth my path and art acquainted with all of my ways. And there is not a word in my tongue. Lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. Thou hast laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. See, David had a vision of how his relationship with the Lord, that the Lord really did know him all the way through his life. But you skip on down to let's see, verse 23, the end of the chapter. Now you can, in your devotions, take this whole chapter and read it. There's many good verses in here. And it says, then he says, he ends all of that and he says, now I want you to search me. I give you permission. Do you ever go before the Lord in your prayer and say, Lord, I give you permission to search my heart. Search my life. Search my thoughts. Search my words. Ask him to do it. David did. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts. And verse 24 says, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then it says, and then lead me to the way everlasting. Now this reference on this part where it says wicked way, it says way of pain. You and I can have characteristics or mannerisms or even family characteristics that can be a way of pain to somebody else. We can hurt others sometimes if we're not tempered and if we're not shaped by His hand. And if He doesn't reveal it to us, how can we know it? And so David said, I want you to search me. And I want you to try me. And I want you to show me if there's any way of pain in my life. And then I want you to lead me to the way everlasting. Thank the Lord. And He will. When I'm thinking about all of the many ways that you and I can be tried, there's no way we could cover it all. But a few of those ways came to my mind. One of the ways that can be a great testing and trying is through loss. Maybe the loss of property or finances, that can be a real test. Or possibly the loss of loved ones. We could have even a loss of a friendship can be a real test. If you've been a friend for most of your life and that friendship seems to come to an end, that can be a real test, a real trial. Maybe we can have the loss of our health. Maybe we have afflictions. Those are testing places. Those are places where we are tried and we will be proven. There's a scripture that also says that God will allow men to ride over our heads. That's a real place of being tried and having the right attitude all at the same time. When people would take advantage of you, it takes real grace then. Have you ever been in a dry place? Have you ever been in a place where you just didn't feel like your prayers were going higher than the ceiling? Or where you didn't really feel the presence of the Lord and you couldn't hardly get anything out of His Word? You couldn't get inspired. That's a real test. David came to that place. And I want to read this scripture before we go into that thought because I think it is a supreme test when we come to that place that we don't feel the presence of the Lord and He allows us to feel very alone. In 2 Chronicles 32 and 1 is this portion of a verse and it says, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. That is a supreme test. When you cannot feel the presence of the Lord and you feel dry and you feel empty and you can't seem to be inspired in His Word, what do you do? Do you sit down and give up? Well, the Lord must have given up on me. The Lord is calling for you and me to submit to that place and continue on and to wait upon Him. Here's what David said in different places. He had these questions. He said, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Another place he said, how long wilt thou forget me, O God? And another place it said, when wilt thou comfort me? I am so thankful that David went through these places and penned these words because there are times when you're in that place you may say those words. How long will it be before you comfort me, Father? How long are you going to hide your face from me? David said also in Psalm 69:3, he said, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Oh, if you haven't been in that place, you can't expect it before you leave this world. You're going to come to a place that you will not feel the presence of the Lord. But He is there. He wants us to wait. He has waited on us, hasn't He? He wants us to wait on Him. It is a time when our faith is being tried. And what does the scripture say when our faith is tried? What happens? It produces patience. And we may not feel patient at the time. We may be longing for Him to reveal Himself to us now. Not tomorrow, now. I want it today. And maybe tomorrow comes and it still doesn't happen. And it goes into some weeks and it may go into some months. What are you going to do? Wait on the Lord. We all know the scriptures that are familiar about waiting on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The scripture says, take courage. Take courage at those times when pray for courage. Don't quit praying. Pray more than you did before. Go in the spirit of prayer. Be in the mood of calling on the Lord all the time. In your work, while you're driving down the road, wherever you are, be crying out to the Lord, Lord, I know you're there. Profess your faith. Profess your belief in His word. When the word of the Lord is read, whether you feel like it or not, say, I believe it. I trust in His word. I do not feel Him now. Who else has felt that way? What about Job? Didn't Job say, I didn't feel Him on the right hand. I didn't feel Him on the left. I didn't feel Him behind or before. But what was his answer to God? He said, but you know the way that I take. He said in one place, I desire thee more than my normal food. You know what that said? It said, I'm fasting. I'm seeking you with my whole heart. And I'm leaving off. I want you more than I want my food. So these are not unusual places. We will meet these places probably more than once. So we are to not give in to fainting. Faint not. Oh, you feel like fainting in those places. And then it says we need to lend the Lord strength in our heart. Then we have another scripture over in Isaiah that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. If we give up, we'll not be renewed. If we wait until the answer comes or till the Lord reveals himself to us, and when he comes and comforts us, says he will give power to the faint. And when there seems like we have no might, he will increase our strength. And when we are weary, we shall run again. And he will not allow his people to utterly faint. He will be there at the right moment. The final scripture this morning is in James, the 5th chapter, in verse 7. And I know it's sort of taking it a little bit out of context, but it can apply. Because I'm just going to give you a few words at the beginning of that verse. And it says, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Literally, we have to be patient unto the coming of the Lord in the end. But we must be patient while we're waiting for the Lord to come to us in our trial or in our test. Be patient. He will come. And even that passage of scripture over in Peter, where it speaks about his coming, it says he will come. He will not tarry. He will come. I don't know where I found this. It was on a piece of paper in my Bible. I wrote it down sometime. I'm going to close with it. And the title of it is Pilgrim Look Up. It says, the journey is long. Look up. Look up in the morning of life. Look up in the noontide when resting time is still in the distance. Look up when the evening time arrives. Keep looking up in the midnight watch. I like that. Jesus even said it. He said, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. I like that. So, in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. Don't push it away. It's for a purpose. And though it be hard, endure the hardness and come out the winner. Pray for me.